Good morning. Susan Holman is a researcher and writer at Harvard University, and she has written many books about the early church and the early Byzantine era of the church. Her most recent book is titled Beholden: Religion, Global Health, and Human Rights, published by Oxford University Press last year. In the beginning of her book, she talks about the death of her father in 2009 and her going to the house to clean it up, to throw away things and so on, what one generally does in situations like that. And while she was doing that, she discovered a book that was over 200 years old. The full title of the book was Medical Inquiries and Observations, to which is added an appendix containing observations on the duties of a physician and the methods of improving medicine by Benjamin Rush, MD, Professor of Chemistry in the University of Pennsylvania, the second edition, 1789. She was intrigued by this title and this book. So she did some research and found that this Dr. Rush was quite an impressive man, a leading physician in early American medicine. He was one of the first Americans to push for universal health care. 200 years later, we still don't have that. Prison reform, the abolition of slavery and capital punishment, equal education for girls and boys. And he especially pushed for the respect and dignity of patients who suffered from mental illnesses. He founded the first free dispensary in America, and he was one of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. He was also a Christian and a member of several Christian churches at the same time. So that, as one person who wrote about him said, so that he might visit the nearest one should he desire communion with his Maker during his rounds. So while he's doing his work, if he needed to have communion with God, you know, that he could go into one of these churches that he was a member of. He himself described his faith as a compound of orthodoxy and heterodoxy of most of our Christian churches. So in his own faith, he combined orthodox doctrines and not so orthodox doctrines, and that could very well describe, I would say, every one of us in today's church, because we all have our own versions of dogmas and doctrines and truths. But I won't dwell on that today. This Benjamin Rush had a special religious concern for providing medical care for the poor. So in this book that Susan Holman discovered, in the appendix, he advised his students with these words: the poor of every description should be the objects of your peculiar care. Dr. Boerhaave used to say they were his best patients because God was their paymaster. Whenever you are called, therefore, to visit a poor patient, imagine you hear the voice of the Good Samaritan sounding in your ears, take care of him, and I will repay thee. On this Labor Day weekend, it is good to remember a man like Benjamin Rush, who labored in the best traditional meaning of the word. He labored with honesty, integrity, and concern for his fellow man and woman. But what really struck me is that last sentence that I quoted. And I repeat, whenever you are called, therefore, to visit a poor patient, imagine you hear the voice of the Good Samaritan sounding in your ears, take care of him, and I will repay thee. Those are the words that the Good Samaritan spoke to the innkeeper when he took the wounded man to an inn and left him there and said to the innkeeper, take care of him and I will pay you more when I come back. When we read the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we will do it again on November 13th this year, we hardly pay any attention to the innkeeper. Our attention is on the Good Samaritan, on the man who was wounded, and on the priest and the Levite who passed by without paying any attention to him. And all of my sermons on that particular parable are always revolving around these other characters. Nobody ever pays attention to the innkeeper. That's what struck me about this quote, that he is actually advising his students, other doctors, to be like the innkeeper and to hear the voice of the Good Samaritan in their ears, take care of him and I will repay thee. Very interesting. Perhaps he's telling them to focus on the innkeeper because he's talking to doctors and future doctors who will be paid for their work, perhaps. But I drew a different lesson from that advice of Dr. Rush. You know, many times we read the Gospels, incidents in Jesus' life, miracles, especially the parables, like today's the parable, and we find it hard to relate to any of the people in the parables, especially because they seem so extreme. Like today's parable is very extreme. Nobody owes that much money as the first servant. And then Jesus compares God to that master who threw the servant and his wife and his children into jail. It sounds so extreme, we can't relate to it. And that's true with most of the stories that we read about Jesus or of Jesus or by Jesus. Even when we read the parable of the Good Samaritan, and obviously we're all supposed to be like the Good Samaritan. And yet how many of us would do what the Good Samaritan did? Most of us would be scared to approach somebody lying by the roadside. And most of us would end up being more like the priest and the Levite in that parable. But perhaps, and I never thought about that until I read that sentence of Dr. Rush, perhaps we can be like the innkeeper. Perhaps we can be like the innkeeper. Do what we are paid to do. And do it honestly and with integrity. And with genuine care for the humanity of others. In today's parable, who can you relate to? Not the master. Not the unforgiving servant, I hope. Maybe the second servant who owes a small amount. More of us probably would fit into that description. But how about the witnesses? How about, did you notice, the other servants saw the wickedness and the unforgiving heart of the first servant? And the word that the gospel said, they were distressed. It bothered him. It bothered them. It bothered them deeply, and they did something about it. How about that? Are we ever shocked? Are we ever distressed at the unchristian behavior of others, at the words that come out of other people's mouths, the racist comments and jokes that come out of people's mouths? Are we bothered by other people's obscene language, their inhumanity, their reckless behavior, their hypocrisy? Yeah, I know we're all hypocrites, so we shouldn't be pointing fingers, but does it bother us? Does our own hypocrisy bother us? Do other people's hypocrisy bother us? Or is it just all normal these days? And maybe that's the only good lesson that any of us can take from today's parable. Because we're not like the master. We're not like the unforgiving servant. And most of us will never be confronted with something terrible like the poor other servant. But we can be like the other servants who were distressed, who were upset at what they saw. There's a lot of things around us that should upset us, that should prompt us to say something, to do something. Perhaps if more of us did that, there would be less violence and hatred and evil in the world. So don't turn away from the parables of Jesus because they look so impossible, so hard to relate to. Find something in every parable, in every miracle story. Find something that you can grab onto and you can say, I can relate to that person. That's the only person in that parable, in that story that I can relate to. The rest, too out there. Too extreme. Can't relate to them. But I can relate to that person. And maybe I can imitate that person. And very often, that could be one of the least important characters in the story. A bystander. Somebody who might not even be mentioned in the parable or the story. Because, as we are told in the scriptures, to each of us according to our abilities, does God have expectations?